Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. As we jump into the next part of our program, I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite. Tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., Urbanite Magazine presents a screening of The Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us?, a new documentary about the global bee crisis. Through interviews with beekeepers and thinkers such as Michael Pollan and Vandana Shiva, the film explores the need to restore a culture that is in balance with nature. After the screening, bee tenders Odessa Armstrong and Jason Rosenberg will lead a discussion with the audience. That's tomorrow evening, Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Wind-Up Space located at 12 West North Avenue, just off Charles Street in Baltimore. More information available at urbanitebaltimore.com. So you can enjoy that as one of our sponsors, Urbanite Magazine. We'll have a very interesting evening. We are now about to be joined by Mazno Al-Mosiki, a Sudanese musician, and Ali Abdul Latif, an organized member of the Sudanese Nonviolence Resistance Movement, Grifna. Welcome. Yes. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming here.
Thanks a lot.
So, Mazno, good to meet you.
I'm
glad our friend Rabab Alamin introduced us.
Oh, absolutely. Same here. Thank you very much.
Good to have you here. And is Ali on by phone?
No, actually, Ali is stuck in at 295. So, which is why I'm panting right now.
Okay, what you ran from 295? Did you?
We were going to, but I decided to take the smarter route and just take the car.
Okay, good.
But I was having an adventure trying to find the building and the parking lot.
Okay, well, you're in the studio.
But we're here. We've made it. Yes, thank you. I apologize for my delay.
No, that's all right. So, I hope Ali makes it.
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully, I sent him the address. So.
Okay, good. And if not, maybe we can call out to him by cell phone.
Very true.
I don't want him to get hurt driving and talking on the cell phone at the same time.
That's very true. Thank you.
I don't want that on my conscience.
No.
But Mazno, thank you for coming here tonight.
I
looked at your website and I was really taken by it. And I think that we had a caller earlier complaining that we don't have shows about Africa. And
I heard.
I said, well, you don't listen to the show very much, and you should listen tonight anyway because we're clearly going there today twice.
Absolutely.
So you're from Khartoum, from Sudan?
I'm from Sudan, yes. I grew up in a little village called Imtidad, which is up a little northern of Khartoum. And I grew there up as a child. I'm Sudanese originally. And then I came here to the States for a short while, and then I went to Egypt for a while, and then I came back in 98. So I am original Sudanese, but I'm very, very Western acclimated. I love the West very much, yeah.
So when people think of the Sudan, mm-hmm. we think of the struggles in the south of Sudan,
yes.
and the new nation of Sudan. We think of Darfur.
Yep.
But what we don't realize is there is a struggle in Sudan proper, in northern Sudan.
Absolutely.
For freedom and democracy that you and many of your brothers and sisters have been part of.
Yes, there has been. It's been over a month now where they've been protesting against the government to try to take out the current regime, and I haven't heard anything about it in the Western media, unfortunately. And a lot of my friends that have spoken to me about it said that they've heard about it because of me speaking about it. So for the past month or so, they've been protesting in Sudan. It's all been like nonviolent. The movement itself is nonviolent, but of course the government retaliates with violence. In fact, I believe a couple of weeks ago they actually killed 11 high schoolers in Nayal.
Because this is a student led movement. These are university students.
They are
high school students.
Absolutely. It's about the Grifna movement was led by.
What does that mean, Grifna?
Grifna is Arabic for we are fed up.
We are fed up, Grifna.
Yes. That has started in 2009. Since 2009, they've been having this movement. And recently, with the recent uprisings and whatnot, the government actually like rose taxes and made the situation even worse in Sudan. And that's when the protests started happening. But the president, of course, he would get on the television and actually he would belittle them and actually use vulgar language by calling them names basically in public, and then behind curtains he would send out secret police and they would take away all these students and they get tortured and they take away their they find out what their Facebook accounts are and they would log into them to try to capture the other students as well. So it's been, but luckily they haven't heard about Twitter yet. So that's been the main thing that they've been using Twitter to let people know what's going on, and us over here on the West and everywhere else, just spread it out. Anything we hear, we just let people know about it.
So, folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. You don't have your guitar with you.
I don't, unfortunately, so, because...
That's right. So, what'd you say about Ali?
I'm sorry?
I thought she said...
Oh, no, I said, unfortunately, I don't...
You don't have a guitar. Yeah. So, but we do have your music.
Yes, you do.
So, let's introduce some of the pieces that we have here. I don't have a list of the songs, but...
Well, I think one of the songs that that I sent is called System Down, which is the song that I wrote specifically for the movement, and which is also the same name of the website, which is systemdown.net.
Which is your website.
Which is my website that basically I made it into a small hub where people can go to find out all sorts of information about what's going on. And that song is there for purchase amongst other variations of the song. And all the money I actually donate to GRIFNA, which is the nonviolent protest movement that I was talking about.
And we want to talk about where that movement is.
Sure.
But let's hear some of the music that you've been composing.
Sure.
Is that all right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
So we'll play the first cut that Mazen was describing.
We were just being patient, like our elders and our teachers. Even though we have been the peaceful ones, you send your secret servants to terrorize our town. But it's our street, it's our home, it's our land, it's our blood, it's our time to rise above your crumbling ground. System down, system down. Voices found, system down. Well, it seems the Nuba Mountains are echoing our voices with desert chants and the Nile's fury. We must demand our own choices. Even though we have been the peaceful ones, you send your secret serpents to terrorize our town. But it's our street, it's our home, it's our land, it's our blood, it's our time to rise above your crumbling ground. System down, system down. Our voices found, system down. Our voices found, system down. Our voices found, system down, system down, system down now. Al-Shaab, you read, is called al-Nizam. الشعب يريد إسقاط النظام الشعب يريد إسقاط النظام وكبار لعنسنا وسنع لكذب ما فيش خيار من الشعب يريد إسقاط النظام وسنع لكذب يا سودان ما فيش serpents to terrorize our town. But it's our street, it's our home, it's our land, it's our blood, it's our time to rise above your crumbling ground. System down, system down. Our voices found, system down. Ya Durman, system down. Ya Imtidad, system down. Ya Bor Sudan,
that was beautiful. That
thank you.
And because it comprises elements of Sudanese music,
I have to give credit to my brother for this because he made this production. His name is Muzo. He's up in Berklee College of Music. And once I sent him the version that I did, which was just guitar and djembe, and he just took it and turned it into this masterpiece that you just heard.
So music is in your family.
It is. It is in my family. We're trying to use it as well as we can to help.
It's going back to this struggle that's going on in Sudan. I think it's important to talk about because we don't cover this very much. Mm. There was a post today, actually.
Yes.
In The Atlantic their website. And, you know, the President Omar al-Bashir, mm-hmm. who was the dictator of Sudan. A lot of oil in Sudan.
I think it's mostly in South Sudan.
In South Sudan.
Yeah.
Which one of these since China is so deeply involved in mm-hmm. in pumping that oil.
Absolutely.
But they said today there was a lethal incident on July 31st, and that 12 people were killed, including 6 elementary school kids, a 17-year-old girl was killed as well, and that Garifuna and Sudan Change, the two groups that are involved in this, right? These were transportation mm-hmm. workers and students protesting in Niala, a city.
Yes, Niala. That's the incident I was speaking about, where students went out to the protest and they actually shot live ammunition on them. And as you see on the post, that few of the children actually did die.
Elementary school kids were killed.
Elementary school, and I believe there were some
high school students
as well, because they just wanted to come out to protest. Like, they don't have anything; they're just out there protesting, you know, speaking their voice. And they sent military in there and basically just shot them.
And this is what we talk about the Arab Spring. We talk about what's going on in Egypt. We talk about mm-hmm. the other places, Morocco and Tunisia, where these things erupted.
Yes.
But for some reason, we're not really covering this.
It hasn't been. And one of the semi arguments I've heard is that a reporter is writing saying that people have what do they call it? Protest fatigue. That they're just. That they've heard about all these uprisings happening, and then they're like, we've heard enough. And that seems to happen when Sudan's coming up. Yet, a few days ago, I saw a post from Al Jazeera talking about the protest in Morocco. I'm mm-hmm. like, wait, so there's no fatigue when it's not Sudan? Suddenly, when Sudan is, there's fatigue about it. But when another nation, you know, rose up, and hopefully they win as well. I'm not saying, I mean, good for Morocco for standing up. It just irks me a little bit where when Sudan is coming up, no one seems to cover it. And there's actually there's several layers to it. Like, for example, there's a Sudanese brother. His name is Radwan Dawood. He's actually married. His wife is here in Portland, Oregon, and she's pregnant with their first child. And when the protest started, he actually went there to help in the protests. But
back to Sudan.
Yeah. And because he came from outside, they actually arrested him and accusing him of being a spy and whatnot, and was going to trial to get executed. But yesterday, after they did their trials, you know, quote unquote, the judicial system declared him not guilty. But as soon as he was about to come out, there is the secret police over there of Sudan, their acronym is NISS, they automatically re-arrested him and took him to an undisclosed location, even though the judicial system said that he's not guilty, because, of course, everything that he was accused of is not real. But now he's still taken somewhere, and nobody knows where he is, and that's also problematic when there's a group of people that think that they are above the law, even though the law said he's free to go.
And what is his name?
His name is Radwan Dawood.
And I saw him on the website.
On the website, exactly.
On the
System Downside.
System Downside.
Absolutely.
And also on the Garifuna website.
Yep, because he's actually a philanthropist. He actually built schools in South Sudan.
Is he an American citizen?
He's an American resident.
American resident.
He's married to an American citizen, of course, here. But she's here. And, of course, she's worried sick about him because, of course, him being held there, we're not able to get him out. I mean,
and you don't hear this. You're not hearing these stories.
Nobody's hearing about this. No one's hearing about this at all, unfortunately.
I mean, and because as I said earlier, it's not different than any of the all the other Arab Spring protests. Mm-mm. happens that some folks in Sudan are darker than some of the folks maybe in North Africa, mm-hmm. which may be one of the reasons we're not paying as much attention.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. But what I'm trying to do is I am trying to bring that voice. I think it is my responsibility of me being here, having the ability to speak for Sudan. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying as best as I can
so,
to talk about
it. I was reading another story today about Abdul Hadi Mahmoud.
Abdul Hadi Mahmoud.
Another student who was arrested on July 26th.
There are several. It's like the thing is that when people only hear about one or two and they think, oh, it's just like one person or whatnot, but it's not. There are several people who are captured there. There are actually, I think on the website, I actually have links to blogs of students that got captured. And after the few days or whatever that they had them there and they released them, they started blogging about what happened to them when they were there. And, of course, as soon as we see something like that, we try to take it and spread it before it's found and taken down. Because right now, actually, my site is actually blocked in Sudan. I have a lot of followers in Sudan. And via Twitter, they're like, you know, your site is blocked now. The systemdown.net, we can't get to it from here. So I was like, well, okay. So someone told me, but like, if they're blocking your site, that means you're doing something right. So I'm sticking to that story.
So the case of Ridwan Dawad is, I think, something that, given that he lives here in America, given
Absolutely.
That he's married to an American woman, given that his child is about to be born in this country.
Absolutely.
But we're not hearing the American press talk about.
Not at all. Because I'm not sure if the American press know about it. That's part of it. Like, I'm not trying to allege that the American press is deliberately not saying anything about him. But I'm trying, maybe they have not heard about it. So basically, the past month, I've been doing my best to let people know about this site, let people know about the situation there. I try to use that site as a central hub for all updates about the Sudan Revolt movement. And anytime I hear something, I try to put it up there.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Sudan, though.
Okay.
Because people, you know, hear the word, but we don't know. You know, people relate to Africa, and they relate to Nigeria, and they relate to Ghana, or they relate to Tanzania, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ethiopia, but
you don't hear about Sudan much.
Right. Yeah. You hear about the news, but you don't understand it.
Right. Well, Sudan, it's before the split that happened, it was the largest country in Africa. It holds, I believe, maybe over 400 tribes and over 300 languages that are spoken. Most of the people who live in the northern part of Sudan mostly speak Arabic.
Which you grew up speaking.
Which where I grew up speaking. And a lot of our brothers who are down south, they speak more. They have more. Most of them do also speak Arabic. But among that, they also have their tribal languages that they have together. And so they use they would use both on the same side. So so it's a large country, and actually with Garifuna there are a lot of like our South Sudanese brothers part of it as well. So it's not just strictly.
You feel united in a struggle.
Oh, absolutely.
With
absolutely.
All welcome, good to have you with us. I'm glad you made it here, man.
Thank you.
Get his mic potted up there.
Right.
There so Ali Abdul Latif is an organizing member of the Sudanese Nonviolent Resistance Movement, Garifuna. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
this is a pleasure. It's really a pleasure. I want to thank you for having us. I want to thank Mosno also.
Absolutely, man. Glad you made it safely, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. But, so Garifuna, we're part of the Garifuna USA team. Basically, with Garifuna in Sudan, it started out in about 2009 with elections coming about, and it started off as an effort to just mobilize people to vote. So that they don't vote for the NCP, the National Congress Party, which is the ruling party right now in Sudan for the past 23 years. So after that, and after there was a lot of problems with the elections, and there was a lot of fraud, a lot of corruption within the elections themselves, everybody pulled out of the elections, all the opposition parties. So Garifuna was then transformed into more of a mobilizing pro-democracy movement to overthrow the NCP, using peaceful means, of course, demonstrations, sit-ins, strikes, things of that sort. It worked out for a long time. It was pretty good, especially on the advocacy efforts, people were very welcoming to the idea of having a democratic alternative, getting rid of dictatorship, it's a military dictatorship trying to mask itself as an Islamic movement. And that causes all kinds of complications when you're in a place as diverse as Sudan, where you have Christians, you have Muslims, you have traditional beliefs, African religions, you have Arabs, you have Africans, you have all sorts of mixtures in that area because Sudan, you know, historically was a melting pot. But so recently with the austerity measures, it started kicking off a series of protests. But Grifna has been protesting since 2009. So, of course, you know, we were public enemy number one inside of Sudan.
How long has it been since you've been there?
I haven't been there since 2009.
been a while, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I was there during the period.
Where it started.
It started and when, you know, there was elections. And it was kind of a new beginning in the history of Sudan because after the comprehensive peace agreement with the South, you know, people had kind of a new outlook. You're like, okay, the civil war is officially over. There was problems in Darfur. Which turned out to be less, more than just a problem. It turned out to be an actual crisis. But people were a little bit rejuvenated. But little by little, they just started losing hope, especially with the secession of South Sudan becoming an independent nation. You know, most people in what is currently the Republic of Sudan, saw this as the ultimate failure of this regime. That you, with your policies, you drove people to vote 99.9% or 99.8% to just leave the country. So that's the ultimate testimony.
And I think it's important to talk about this is that we only have like 4 or 5 minutes left, but the bravery of the Sudanese students. I mean, you're talking about young people standing up to a regime where if they're arrested, they will be tortured, they could be killed.
Yeah, and believe it or not, it was the female students were the first ones to actually start, you know, going out there and causing these protests, especially with these recent ones as well. So they've been a big influence on the movement.
And these students, they've seen what happened to the South. They've seen what happened to Darfur. So they know what kind of violence this regime is accustomed to.
It's capable of, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went out and, you know, head first.
So what can we do here to begin this conversation? We will have you guys back on as well to have this conversation to kind of make people aware in this community and communities around America about what Grifna is doing, what's happening in Sudan,
right,
and how people can be
more involved.
Yeah.
The first thing, I mean, is, you know, take a look at our media, what we have to say, and the basics kind of like so that, you know, instead of asking people to start jumping into advocacy right away on our behalf, maybe they could just get a little bit of a background. And I actually brought this for you. This is a wristband.
Thank you.
With the website. It has Grifna.com on it. Basically, that's, you know, ground zero for anybody who wants to get involved.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think the diaspora community and the American community, different communities within the area, they could be helpful in clearing up the misconceptions about the problems in Sudan. People think that when the South went away, that the Sudan's problems are kind of solved, which is to the contrary.
And you saw this. I mean, we have seen some coverage of the students rising up. And I want to, first of all, let me encourage some folks. Let's play one of the pieces under us slowly here that Mosno wrote, if we can. And we'll take that instead of our theme music. We'll go out with that music under us here.
I am honored. Thank you.
And hear that.
All right.
And we want to encourage people to go. You can go to our website, steinershow.org. Mm-hmm. We'll connect to systemdown.net.
Yes. And I have links to Grifna on there as well.
And we'll also link to Grifna as well. We also link to it, GIRIFNA.com.
That's great.
Grifna, the student movement, the nonviolent resistance movement in Khartoum and Sudan. Of people, any either song doesn't make it.
It's fine. Either one.
What comes next? Just put it up. So you can hear that's going under us, and I think that it's something that we have to kind of remember that there are people struggling across the planet Earth for their freedom, and many of those people who are refugees live here in our own city. Mm-hmm. We've been joined by Mosno Al-Wasiki, whose website you can go to, System Down, a musician and a Sudanese. Ali Abdul Latif, also Sudanese, an organizing member of the Sudanese Nonviolent Resistance Movement, Garifna. Brothers, good to have you both in the studio.
Thank you very much.
And we will come back to this.
Yes,
absolutely.
With any luck, we can try to bring some folks on from Sudan on the show directly and have their voices heard here as well.
Definitely make that happen.
Beautiful.
We'll work on that. Thank you. So as this goes under, I want to remind you that Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Justin Levy. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer, Jamal Jones, is there. It's not. There he is over there. Yes, he is. Engineering our show today. Our theme music, which you're not hearing now, is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. This is Mazno Al-Mosiki's music, his own compositions for the liberation of his country. To hear the show again, podcast, any of our past shows, find information about our guests and what they do, please visit on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio to be EAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay involved and take care. Say you want to be with me. Hey, yeah.